As we saw this morning in 1 Timothy, nothing quite sickens a church like false teaching. Those who teach a different gospel than the one God's already revealed to us in his word pave a road that leads their listeners straight to the gates of hell. Our verse tonight, Jeremiah 26:13, basically echoes Paul's charge to Timothy. But where Paul charged his young protege to confront those in Ephesus teaching a different doctrine, in Jeremiah, God confronts the people of Judah, charging them not to listen to the false prophets of their day. How should we respond to those who contradict God's word? To those who hijack his standard of truth and twist it into a lie? And how do we keep ourselves and one another from swerving from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith? Well, God tells us clearly in Jeremiah 26:13 what to do. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. So what do we do with false teachers? Well, God is pretty clear. He gives us very limited options. Either we can listen to his word, or we can listen to man's. One promises life, the other promises death. One offers you the thing you need most in life, and the other takes it from you. One will save you, and the other will kill your soul. So our one and only point tonight, get your pens ready. It is simple, and it is as straightforward as God's word in Jeremiah 23:16. Listen to God's words, not worthless words. Listen to God's word, not worthless words. Jeremiah was a prophet called by God during the reign of King Josiah when the nation of Judah went into exile around 562 BC. His mission was both to assure the wicked that they would be punished and to remind the faithful of the certainty of God's promised salvation. But he spends the bulk of his ministry warning Judah, God's very own people, of God's impending judgment on them in the form of enemies that would come from the north and lay waste to the nation and the city of Jerusalem. This is where Jeremiah really packs his punches as a prophet. God's people had not been faithful to the covenant that God had made with them at Mount Sinai. Rather than obey God's word, they'd broken the covenant. They'd worshipped other gods and failed to submit to him as their king. And so the Lord sends Jeremiah to warn God's people of God's coming wrath and to call them to faith and repentance. Jeremiah's job then, like all of the Old Testament prophets, was basically just to prosecute God's law. They were to lay out the consequences of breaking the covenant, warn the people of God's coming wrath against sin, and to call them to faith and repentance. And this is exactly the kind of work that we find the prophet Jeremiah faithfully doing in this book. And the problem in the book, and the real conflict and drama of the book, is that while Jeremiah was calling God's people back to the Lord, Judah's leaders were swaying them away from him. Rather than tell Judah the truth about their sin and God's coming wrath, they were leading the people into deeper sin and telling them all was good. In Jeremiah 21, Jeremiah begins going after these leaders. He takes Judah's kings to the woodshed in chapters 21 and 22, and then he turns to the priests in chapter 23, verses 1 to 8. But like the prize fighter of a prophet that he is, Jeremiah gets in the ring and saves his hardest punches for those who claimed to be God's prophets, but who were really just a bunch of worthless windbags. Listen to how he describes them in chapter 23, verses 13 to 14. In the prophets of Samaria, I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Skip down to verse 17. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. These prophets, unlike Jeremiah, were ungodly liars who did not prophesy in accordance with the revealed word of the Lord. Rather than warn people about their sin and its consequences, these wannabes told them what their itching ears wanted to hear and rejected God's authoritative word. And verse 16 basically just sums up the worthlessness of their message. They only have one thing to offer the people, a big, fat pile of nothing. And so, what does God tell his people to do with their message? Basically, flush it down the toilet where it belongs. Listen to my word, God says. Don't listen to theirs. My word will save you. Theirs will cut you off from my presence forever. Friends, just as we saw this morning in 1 Timothy, nothing could be more foolish and dangerous to us than turning a deaf ear to God's word. What we do with the truth revealed in the scriptures is a matter of life and death. Listening to those who only speak visions of their minds, not from the mouth of the Lord, is the way that leads to certain destruction. The stakes are too high for us to flirt with worthless words. Just because someone speaks in the name of God doesn't mean they actually do. I praise God that we're a church that cherishes God's word and wants to hear it. It's a privilege for me to bring the word, to bring the truth to people who are actually hungry for it. There are a lot of churches in our own area that aren't hungry for it. And so the blessing of a church that really wants the word isn't lost on me when I take the pulpit or when I get to teach on a Sunday night or in an ABF. But don't let that lull you into thinking for a second that this makes us immune to developing the kind of appetite for the junk food that plagued the people of Judah in the book of Jeremiah. The command not to embrace false teaching is just as much for us as it was for them. Even our ears can get itchy for a lie. God's word doesn't tell us what we naturally want to hear. I mean, honestly, who really wants to abandon their sin and submit to God? Honestly, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to worry about God's wrath? If our sin actually wasn't that big of a deal to him? Brothers and sisters, we've got to guard one another against this. We've got to guard one another from this. This is the message we naturally want to believe. The natural message we want to put all of our stock and hope in. But praise God that he gives us ears to hear the truth of his word and to respond in faith. We've still got to fight to protect our love for the truth and to pursue it, lest we abandon it for the empty lies our itching ears want to hear. So brothers and sisters, church, cherish the word at all costs. Ignore the words that lead to death and cling to the only one that can bring life. Your eternity and our life as a church depends on it. Never, ever stop hungering for the word. Feast on it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Be picky eaters. Don't settle on anything less than the filet mignon of God's word. I worked on that line. I appreciate that. We've got absolutely nothing to offer the world if we trade God's word for man's. Nothing. We don't need to innovate for the Lord to save, and he doesn't need us to accommodate his message. We simply need to say what God has already said, and then trust him to open ears and eyes that will respond in faith and repentance. That was Jeremiah's job. That's what Paul told Timothy to do. That's what God's word tells us to do. The command is simple. Don't listen to false teachers. But we've got to do the hard work of training ourselves and others to know the truth. As we saw this morning, there are those who will come to us in the name of God, but who do not know the things of God. They'll evoke the name of Jesus without embracing the teachings of Jesus. How will you be able to spot a wolf in sheep's clothing if you don't know what a wolf in sheep's clothing looks like? How will you know who to listen to if you're not listening to God's word? Elders, I think this merits a word to you especially. Know the word so that you can feed us the word. Work to develop your own understanding of the word so that you can deepen ours. In doing so, you'll keep us from gorging on the junk food and growing our appetites for the truth of the scriptures. Remember that part of your job description as an elder is what Paul told Titus in Titus 1:9, that an elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that you may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Brothers, your sheep desperately need you to excel at this. I desperately need you to excel at this. So please never stop leading us with the word. Our life depends on it. Those of you who teach and who lead us, whether you teach in ABF or on Sunday evenings or in Women's Institute or with our youth or with our children, feed us the word. Feed us the word. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Stay a student of the word. Remember that you never, ever graduate from the school of Scripture. You never, class is never over. It's always in session. Whole church, all of us, the same is true of you. The Bible isn't just for an elite group of super Christians. The Bible is for all Christians. And it calls all of us to help one another to know it and to better understand it. And that's why the Bible needs to be at the center of all of our discipling relationships. Discipling others with the word, it's one of the primary means God has ordained to protect his church and his children from the danger of those who want to lead us astray and fill us with vain hopes. It's how we guard one another and train our ears not to listen to liars. And it's how we learn to know the truth and to obey it in faith. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to know the truth just as much as I do and just as much as any member of this church does. You need to hear the same truth that Jeremiah proclaimed, that you are a sinner and you have disobeyed God's command. The storm of his wrath is coming, and it is coming against all of those who persist in their rebellion and refuse to turn from their sin, to repent, and to put their faith in him. But there is good news. Because God, in his great love for you, has sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die in the place of sinners like you and me. And now Jesus stands alive and reigning at the right hand of the Father, ready to forgive and to redeem all who would turn from their sin and put their faith in him. Friend, don't listen to those who speak peace to you where there is no peace. Peace is only promised to those who put their faith in Christ. God's wrath is coming, but if you are in Christ, it is not coming for you. So listen to God's word. Put your hope and your faith in his, not man's. Only one will lead you to life. The other will lead you to death. Friends, God has spoken to us by his word. In his kindness, he's warned us of the dangers of listening to those who contradict it. His word promises life. Man's promises death. One is worthy enough to stake your entire eternity on. The other can only offer you a great big bag of nothing. Brothers and sisters, listen to God's word. Don't listen to worthless ones.